For 7 plus 23 equals 3011, it's Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
Riff, you're gonna have to stop that.
What?
Working on Minecraft.
I'm not. This is... I changed notebooks. This is my Video Games Hot Dog notebook.
Oh, okay. What have you been putting into your Video Games Hot Dog that isn't about video games in the last week, Riff?
Nothing. This is all about video games.
Fuck.
This is the list of video games that I have played since last time.
Okay. Kevin, what have you been up to?
I've been working at Comic-Con 2011.
Constructing a little fortress of solitude. We realize that the sound quality is a little different on this thing because we only have two mics in the asymmetric satellite offices at Comic-Con. We're actually on the exhibit hall floor, though. Kevin has built a thing that has really eliminated most of the room noise.
Yeah, we'll see. I had to build it out of a single crystal from my original planet.
So. Oh, God, guys, look at that hot cosplay girl. Have you seen any sexy cosplay ladies at Comic-Con, Riff?
Not... really?
Kevin, have you seen any sexy cosplay fellas?
I saw several slave Leias. They were all doing a group photo, so that sort of...
There's a pretty good Baroness, but she was wearing the red Baroness suit, not the black Baroness suit, so I kind of objected.
Was there a little Snoopy chasing her?
That'd be pretty funny, actually.
I bet Charles Schulz's ghost comes down pretty hard on people Peanuts cosplaying.
Roy said he saw a sexy girl Waldo.
Hmm. I saw a sexy girl pair of Mario and Luigi's. Hmm. They were wearing fake mustaches, so I couldn't tell if they were Asian or not. They were in disguise, but I'm pretty sure they were Asian.
I have to get around to blogging all the photographs that I've taken so far.
Did you meet any cool celebrities yet?
I met Peter Cooper, who is a sort of underground... Well, he was an underground comics artist for a long time, but when the originator of Spy vs. Spy in Mad Magazine died, he took that over.
Hmm. You'd think, based on his name, that he made dick barrels.
Well, I was thinking, what is it, Peter Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he might pick a keck of pickled keppers? I don't know. That's not a thing. Hmm.
You're not far enough away, Kevin. As it is now, we can't see you, but it would be better if we also could
As you
hear
sit
you.
Now, we can't see you.
Inside a dog. It's too dark to pee.
I think that's pretty much all the celebrities that I have, talked to. I mean, the guys, I got autographs from the guys from the Wasteland comic book, and they seem pretty cool, but I don't know if they're classified as celebrities. I'd never heard of them before that comic.
Last night at dinner, we saw the doctor from Voyager.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And our customer service fella said hi to him. That was the entire story.
He also said hi to Brian Posehn, I believe.
And peeing. Yeah, Brian Posehn apparently was in the video that MC Frontalot, friend and yours, was filming up in L.A. this week. Funded by a very successful Kickstarter project that he got going there.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to see the video.
Yeah.
It's for the song Critical Hit.
It was like a D&D themed video, yeah, as I recall.
What about you, Kevin? How have you been finding Comic-Con?
I haven't met any celebrities. Normally, Will Wheaton stops by our booth on the first day or two, and he has not stopped by. I think he was too busy hanging out at Stone Brewery and getting ready for Wootstock. There's not been a whole lot going on. I've been going in the mornings and setting up the booth and then taking off for most of the afternoon. So maybe
just
that's
to sit around nursing a hangover.
Yeah, God, today, jeez, I don't know what happened. I thought I had sort of kept it under control last night, but apparently I did not appease the drinking gods or whatever. So they're taking it out on me today.
We went to a fancy party bar where
art bar,
art man's
art happening,
art
happening
man's bar. Were about.
Yeah,
not Aardman though. Is that a real guy? Is that a guy?
I think that's the guy's name, yeah.
I think it's Nick Park, actually. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's totally not a real guy.
His parents named him that so he'd be first in the phone book. Yeah, so we haven't been doing much other than Comic-Con. because that's what's up. That's what's here.
But you've had the opportunity to use it to play some video games. I
have played some video games. Have you guys? Let's start with you guys. What video games have you been playing?
Mainly this week, since I got here, I've been playing Legend of Zelda Minish Cap.
Oh yeah,
which is pretty good.
Every once in a while, I'll hear the doo 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 doo.
Yeah,
and I'm like, somebody just had something exciting happen.
I like it's got that. I don't know. It's got a mechanic where you shrink down real small, so a lot of the environments have sort of a double-layered effect, where things that you can open and access, and paths that you can take while you're only while you're large, and other ones while you're only small, on the same screen, which is interesting.
Is it like an Alice in Wonderland mechanic where you have to consume different kinds of potions or mushrooms?
You have to find a glowing tree stump or overturned pot or a similar object that you can go in and then come out the other hole, much smaller.
Huh. But you have to have the hat, right? Isn't that what the Minish hat is
about? With the bird face.
It makes you miniature.
Yep. You get that like right at the very beginning of the game though, so
you're playing it on like virtual console or are you playing it on your cheater card?
No, I'm playing it on with an actual Game Boy Advance cartridge in a DS Lite.
Oh, wow. That's I forgot old that school. It was a GBA game. I don't know why. Yeah. I thought it was not. I played that game and I got to the last boss and couldn't beat the last boss, and so I just quit. Hmm. I feel like I got everything out of it. Is that all? Is that all you've been playing?
Let me see. What all have I got written down here? This says Danmaku Unlimited, and I have no recollection of what that was. I think it might be a bullet dodger on iPad. That was pretty interesting.
Like a bullet hell game?
Yeah, bullet hell game. And it's the higher you score in it, you earn tokens that you can spend to permanently upgrade your ship, like even across multiple games.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I played a little bit of the new Mac version of Spelunky. I played through the tutorial and then about 30 seconds, which was long enough for me to determine that this isn't the game for me.
Yeah, I really want to like Spelunky. I love the way that it looks. I love the idea of a randomly or a procedurally generated platformer like that. But like,
what is Spelunky? Tell me about it.
Imagine a platform jumping version of NetHack.
Kinda. Okay. You're like a little
side scroller
archaeology man, and Derek Yu makes levels for you with his codes.
Yeah,
and you. It's got a lot of really confusing movement mechanics. Like, the tutorial super, like, from my experience at least, the tutorial super inadequately explains how to use, like, ropes and stuff.
And bombs. It took me, like, 3 times through the tutorial before I could finish it because I couldn't get the bomb to explode the wall that you needed to go through.
Yep, that was also a thing that happened to me. And the fact that they don't, like, there's not, like, a supply of bombs nearby so you can actually finish the tutorial.
Yeah, it was
they don't provide the materials you need to win the tutorial in the tutorial.
Well, you get 3 bombs, but if you screw up your placement or throwing of all 3 of them, then you have no way to finish
the
tutorial.
And for whatever reason, the way that the tutorial presents you with the task of using a bomb to blow up this wall, it's like super easy to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been thinking about procedural generated stuff, like, as we've been playing this Dungeons of Dreadmore, and I spent a good amount of time, like, playing Dungeons of Dreadmore and thinking about that dungeon led me to figure out a solution to a problem that I wanted to solve for years in making, like, writing a generator for dungeons with, like, arbitrarily sized and shaped rooms.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I spent a day, like, just dicking around with that instead of doing productive work. But
that reminds me, I need to find that PDF for you of the
Indiana
Game
Jones
Master
Ancient
Guide. Yeah.
Ruin Generator. Riff got me a sweet Indiana Jones tabletop role-playing game for my birthday. I haven't looked at it yet because we got all busy.
Yeah.
But the levels in Spelunky don't look cool. They look like...
Yeah.
Like... My buddy wrote a game in high school, which he started out just writing a program to fill the screen with random ASCII characters. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, I should do this again, only make it so it's a dungeon and all of those ASCII characters actually mean something, like limit it to a subset, but still just do it randomly. And so it was like I'm sure that in Spelunky, they make sure that you can get to every platform
that there's one way or another, a possible path.
It just looks like a random
scattering of bricks.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like static.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, can you dig? Is that the point of it to call it being called Spelunky?
You, well, you can. You start out with, I think, like 5 bombs, and you can get more.
There are bats. You have a gun.
Yeah. Whip.
Huh. Interesting. You're in a cave. I guess you're in a cave. That's why it's Spelunky.
That's why you're Spelunky.
The first thing I saw when I started playing for real was a little blonde woman shouting, "Help me!" And I went over to her and could not find any button to press that affected her in any way.
Huh. Did you hit help?
Was there a helps menu?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what, if it's like F1 for help, maybe when she says help me, you're supposed to hit help. That'd be a funny puzzle maybe. To put in. Let's do that. Let's edit this out so we don't spoil it 10 years from now when we make a new game. What else? Have you played anything at Comic-Con? Have you gotten into...
No, I haven't. I watched somebody play... the new Silent Hill Downpour for a few seconds, and it looked about the same.
As the old Silent Hill?
Well, as previous Silent Hills. I doubt that it will be as good as Silent Hill 2.
Because nothing ever is.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Kevin? What have you been playing?
I have also not had a chance to do much in terms of the Comic-Con exclusive preview stuff. I've been mostly busy with things, so I've mostly played... some Puzzle Quest on the iPad, so it's like old school, just because I happen to have an iPad around when I wasn't actively working, because we use it as a point of sale at our booth at Comic-Con, and that was weird. I remember having played the demo a couple years ago, and thinking that it was okay, but going back and playing the actual game, like it just seems broken in a lot of ways. Like the combats take freaking forever, so like you're fighting a wolf for like 15 minutes or whatever, or like an orc or an ogre, and then it just seems super random too, because like so much of it
is dependent. The enemy will never miss it if there's a possible 3 in a row or 4 in a row or 5 in a row,
but it's so dependent on what drops in from the screen above, and you know, as far as I know, that's random.
And
that's super dissatisfying. Like you could be playing effectively perfectly and still lose because the computer just happens to get a ton of really good drops from the ceiling and do that, like play their stuff, you know, quickly or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it was sort of super maddening to play. And like the leveling up and stuff, like everything was taking 10 times as long as it should have. Like leveling, like when I would level, like the bonuses I would get would be like 0.5%, you know, improvement to this skill, or, you know, like, 0.25%, you know, better returns on like red mana gain or whatever, and I was just like, seriously, like I'm gonna have to level 400 times and to get, you know, something more meaningful or whatever. I don't know. It seemed like the game was designed or written by mathematicians and not like people who had played a bunch of games.
I mean, it was extremely popular, so
yeah,
it clearly resonated with it. I mean, maybe the problem is that, like, for most people, playing Bejeweled for 15 minutes seems like an awesome amount of time to play Bejeweled, right? And we just are, like, done with it by then.
Yeah, I guess.
The fact that you can indefinitely farm experience points in a single fight is a little weird, which you then lose if you fuck around and lose the fight.
Yep.
The skills that you unlock, at least, like, in my experience of playing it, on the GBA, where I could barely tell the difference between the yellow and the green spheres, which made things tricky, was that as I leveled up my knight dude, I eventually got this set of skills that was like one thing I think that turned a bunch of things into experience points, and then another thing that collected all of the experience points on the screen. So doing that would almost always result in several chain reaction things, and so I could very frequently just one hit stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
If I recall correctly, they took the onboard experience out of Puzzle Quest 2.
But
so you
didn't
just
they also
got
turn
experience
it into like
per monster, didn't you?
Some sort of weird 6-axis game instead of 2-axis or 3-axis. Like, wasn't it like...
No, you're thinking of the space version.
Yeah, was that not...
Puzzle Quest 2 is the second fantasy one that came out more recently.
I did not like it at all. It seemed like it
the
had
sequel.
This... Yeah, it... The exploration, while I understand that mechanically it wasn't any different than moving around on the overworld map in the original Puzzle Quest, it just felt so tedious. Like, moving through all of these, like, identical rooms in dungeons. And every time I went in to a room that had monsters in it, I was just like, fuck, I don't want to fight these monsters. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, especially because the monsters scaled to you in difficulty. And so every fight was a fight that you that was hard and you really had to pay attention to. And you you couldn't go back to the very early game and just smash a goblin because you wanted to play an easy puzzle.
Yeah, the scaling monsters to your level is just, I think, a bad method.
I mean, you know, there it has its places, right? I mean, we use it in Kingdom of Loathing when we want to do, like, all right, well, we need to make sure that everyone, no matter what level they are, can see this content because this content's only here for like a day or whatever, right? So it's in that way, I could see it being useful. But in a single player game, there's no, like, it's just it's just silly. And I get that it's a tricky problem to solve in like an open world game, but fucking Puzzle Quest 2 is not an open world game, so why would they need to do that? Whatever they did in Fallout 3 was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
because I never noticed it. I mean, it was like, okay, so I shouldn't go over there because there's monsters that are too tough over there. I'll go in a different direction, and then I found some easier monsters, and it seemed like they just...
Did they have some sort of adjustment? Because I thought those were monsters just that had certain powers that were in certain places.
I don't think so. I think it did a limited amount of scaling, but like a mole rat was always your level until you were level 5, and then it capped out and just became a thing that you could kill in one hit.
I see.
Is my feeling on how that stuff worked. I don't actually know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like it was something more like I don't know, like... Yeah, I don't know. I can't even think of a good example.
I mean, did things start out at like level 8, and they would scale from 8 to 12 and then stop at 12 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
Because, I mean, it's like you start out and like super mutants are constantly kicking your ass, and then later on you learn how to say their names right, and then you can kill them.
Yeah.
except for the...
Rumpelstiltskin.
And was that the plot of Rumpelstiltskin?
Yeah.
They figured out how to kill him by saying his name backwards, and it took away his powers.
Exactly. So now he can only turn gold into straw.
Sucks. It's like, fuck you, man. Get out of my...
Get out of my
treasury. Casually leaving a bank, just laughing. Fuckers. So, Puzzle Quest.
Yeah. The writing, man, was just also not good.
Yes.
You know, if it had had an awesome story, and I felt like I was unlocking the story, I feel like I would have enjoyed it more. I mean, you know, like...
It's like a licensed property, too. It takes place in the Warlords universe, which has all of these games. Yeah, nobody knows.
It's
like a licensed property that nobody knows it's a licensed property.
I really, like, in Space Cam, the story was interesting, and, like, I was kind of excited each time I beat a level because it would unlock some more story. And in Puzzle Quest, I was like, ugh, they're going to have a dialogue here.
God, I accidentally watched somebody play Final Fantasy 12-2 for a couple minutes today.
12-2?
Not for a couple minutes. It was a few seconds. I was trying to watch somebody play Deus Ex Human Revolution, and I was like, looked at the wrong monitor because they were right next to each other. Like,
is Human Revolution in like the point where it's going to be out soon?
It sure looks like it.
That's cool.
I'll talk about that a little bit in my what have you been playing?
Okay.
Even though I didn't play it. I also played a ton of Our Assignment.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And I've been watching my girlfriend play through Pirates. Plants vs. Zombies.
Pirates vs. Zombies.
and that game is just so solid. Like, it is fun to watch. It's fun to, like, you know, see her have a hard time on some of the challenges and, like, suggest, you know, improvements or whatever. And, like, I don't know. It's just a solid game. That PopCap did a bang up job when they put that together. Anybody who has not played Plants vs. Zombies should go out and buy it right now.
I think everybody has played Plants vs.
Zombies. I would hope that they would have, but you never know.
I wonder if they're going to be able to do anything else with it. Like, I wonder if a Plants vs. Zombies 2 will be any good, or if it will just be more of the same thing.
Yeah.
If it was more of the same, but, you know, just different flavor, I think that would probably still be cool. You know? Like, I don't know that they have to make it fundamentally different to give us more. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I'm sure we'll find out.
How about you, Zach? What have you been playing?
Well, I don't think I played anything prior to Comic-Con except the assignment in that few days, but I've played a ton of stuff at Comic-Con. I tried to play Mass Effect 3, but the 3 turned out to be the number of hours you had to wait in line to play Mass Effect 3, and fuck that. I'll just wait however many months it is until that comes out. I went to the actual, like, BioWare is set up in the hotel across the street from the convention center, and
yeah, their bio base or whatever it is.
Yeah, they hired a sorority to wrangle people in their lines
and so provide massages.
There were all these cute girls with iPads taking down your information. I was like, all right, where's the line to play Mass Effect 3? Like, this girl's like, hey, want to play Mass Effect 3? I'm like, yes. She's like, get in that line over there. And that was the line to get let into the 3-hour line.
Wow.
I was like, ugh, God, this sucks. So I just wasn't going to do that. But I was really surprised at how readily I was able to just walk up and play stuff on the Comic-Con floor. Like, I've begun to think of Comic-Con as a place where I just can't go do anything because I'm not willing to wait in a line for an hour.
Right.
For, like, fucking anything anymore. Like, I just, you know,
the bathroom.
There's nothing that I need that bad. But I played some Guild Wars 2. They had like a time limited demo, but you were allowed to play it for like 35 minutes. So I felt guilty after like 15. So I just let somebody else play it. But started a guy and played through some quests. And so Guild Wars, I'm assuming that it is like the first one, which is like, it is not really an MMO. It is more like the way Diablo 2 sort of worked, except town is Battle.net. And when you go out into the wilderness, it's instanced to you and your party. Oh. So you can party up in town. And then, so there's also not a monthly fee. So
I thought it was really, I was under the impression that Guild Wars was really PvP focused.
That's true, and I don't really understand that about it. I never played it. My experience of playing Guild Wars 1 was like, so there's like a prologue where I think you're kind of on your own and there is no PvP, where the world is all fantasy, green, rolling hills and stuff. And then once you hit like level 10 or something,
you get dumped into the world that's on fire.
Yeah. There's some great sundering event and the world gets destroyed. And as soon as that thing dropped me into the world, I started walking in a direction and there was just like nothing. There was just empty world. Just, you know, these sort of rocky, craggy fields for like 5 minutes in one direction. I was like, what the fuck? I don't know where anything is.
Is that often how you approach a game? You'll just start walking in one direction?
I don't know. It didn't really signpost me.
I mean, that's how I played Two Worlds 2, basically. As soon as it let me out of the very linear tutorial zone, I was like, all right, you want me to go over there? I think I'm going to go this way instead.
You found the Maru Maru ball right away. I don't even know. Is that what's that called?
You're talking about the thing in,
no, really. God. I'm talking about the ball in Metroid that lets you turn into
Metroid.
A ball.
Yes, Metroid. Maru Maru ball. Maru is that cat on the internet. I don't remember what the Samus ball is called.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. I'm good at radio, let me tell you.
Yeah. So we've got somebody that we need to let into the apartment when we take a break, but we weren't going to take a break, so we're going to have to take a break.
That's okay. I'll probably have to pee by then.
I also played... I didn't talk about Guild Wars 2 yet. I played Guild Wars 2, and I made a dude, and I did a quest, and it seemed like it was pretty cool. Like, the world seemed like it had a lot of stuff going on in it. Like, you could double tap a direction and your guy would do a somersault, and I have no idea if that does anything, but man, was it fun. Just like sit there jumping around doing somersaults and shit and then shooting a dude with a gun.
Did you dance on a mailbox?
I didn't find a mailbox. I probably would have tried if I had seen one.
Did you dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I've never done that. You get a quest to start with that's like, oh, you got to prove your worth so that you can get invited to the Great Hunt. So you're going to need to get a minotaur horn and a rock feather and a skrelk egg. And then there are just all these, like, to get a rock feather, you had to, like, go out and shake trees and it would spawn a monster out of the tree when you shook it. And then you had to go threaten a nest. to get a...
I thought you were going to say threaten a nun.
To get a skrook to come out.
Threaten a nest seems like it's the beginning of an awesome tongue twister.
And there was also... I lit a brazier on the road.
And was it a Dairy Queen brazier?
Yes, it was. I don't know what it did. It just was on fire after I lit it when it had not been on fire before.
Huh. Wow, that sounds like some awesome gameplay there.
Well, I mean, you know...
Well, is there a day-night cycle? Maybe that's useful at night or something.
I don't know. Maybe. There's a snow. It was snowing.
Okay.
In a place when there was an ice worm. There was a part of a quest, the great hunt that I did. I got up there, and I think there were other players doing it. Because I had, when I watched somebody else play it, they got up there and it was like, "Our new event available: kill ice worms to enrage Eorgugar." When I got up there, there was Eorgugar being fought by a bunch of NPCs. There were tons and tons of NPCs around, just doing stuff. Like, there you could like put bait on these traps and catch more scroobs. Hmm. And there were other like hunter NPCs running around using traps and saying, "Hey, feel free to use my traps. I got plenty."
That's not a thing that would happen.
Talked about people.
That's a thing an NPC would say.
Yeah, it's not.
It isn't a thing a player would ever say.
Well, I don't think it's a thing that would happen in the real world. Like, fuck you, don't touch my traps. Would be how the real world would work.
You don't have any civic duty. I mean, sense.
I've taken some civic duties.
Like, yeah. Keep getting.
That's why you're on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm not allowed in the city of Kansas City.
The city of Kansas.
Yeah, the city of Kansas City.
So I don't know. I just played it for a while. I found a woman who sold things for triangles, and I didn't know what the triangles were or how to get more of them. They were boon. It said.
So you got to find the boon farm.
Yeah. There was a, I don't know, you had like a salvage kit that you could turn things into wood and copper.
Anything, even bricks.
Yeah, just birds. There were skill trainers, and it seemed like it... So one skill that this... I was playing like an engineer, and one skill that they had was called Grenade Bag, which...
it's a fun prank. You put a grenade in someone's bag, and...
It's like teabagging them, except you dip your balls on a... You put your balls on their face, and then your balls explode. But it was like it changes your entire skill bar to a bunch of different grenades, is what this thing does when you train it. And I don't know if there are like separate like modes like that. There was another... I had a thing on my belt slot, on my like hot bar, that was elixir. Hmm. And it was like, it didn't seem to be an item that I had. It didn't seem to have a cooldown. It did have a cooldown. It didn't consume anything. And it was like, restores 115 hit points and gives you 15 seconds of either this, or this. And then it would, I just took it and it gave me hit points and I didn't see if it was doing anything else. Hmm. I don't know if there was like not yet a UI for effects that you had on you or what was going on. Super highly polished UI, and it really felt good to move around, and it was neat. The conversation system, they do a thing that's sort of like in like Conan, Age of Conan, where there's like a cutscene where you're talking to people, but it's not in world. It like draws it kind of letterboxes the screen and then shows a 3D model of you on the left side and a 3D model of the NPC on the right side. And then you have like dialogue trees that you go through. And I don't know what it looks like in the world when somebody else is having a conversation with an NPC.
Person standing there doing nothing for a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most people do. That's mostly what you see.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, what are my other notes about Guild Wars 2? There were multiple ways of doing the first quest, which I thought was nice. Like, you could either bait one of those traps to get a guy to run in, or you could threaten their nest, and then the minotaurs were just running around in, like, a herd.
It wasn't some sort of maze herd?
No.
Thing?
Although I did get a quest to pick 4 ears of corn.
Yeah.
Ears of corn?
Oh. Out of the maze.
Right.
Oh, maze herd.
I see. Did you have any quests to deliver pie or mail?
No. That's solely the... I wasn't playing a hobbit. There were three classes available, and three races available, and two of them, when you selected them, there was like, warning, this will give you gameplay with no story. Are you sure you want to continue? It's like, fuck no, I don't want to. Like, wait a minute, I hate story.
Wait, what do you mean this will give you gameplay with no story? What does that even mean?
It seemed like...
like, it just a placeholder, they haven't finished it yet?
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to do the thing that the Old Republic is trying to do, where the quest line is very much like about what's going on with you.
Huh.
And the Great Hunt is like, you start out, you know, this is how you become like a celebrity in your tribe of Norse hunters, mans. But I guess maybe they just had some open world sections with just quest, like generic questy stuff, and not a really well developed plot line for the other races. It seems like it was per race and not per class. But that's because I saw a guy playing like a hunter who had the exact same quests as I did as an engineer. I also played Bastion, which I had not.
Oh, that's the one with the constant narrator, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is it good?
Yeah,
I've enjoyed heard good it. Things about it.
I don't think that it would be fun for more than a couple of hours. The gameplay is very straightforward. Just run around, like, you know, it's you're on this world where everything like flies up to, you're on these islands in the sky and everything flies up to meet you as you get close to it. So it's pretty difficult to tell like which ways you can go a lot of the time. You kind of have to walk around the whole edge of the island to see where new paths emerge. Maybe there was clearly some shorthand for it, because there were places where there'd like be a little wooden plank or whatever, and I knew that I'd be able to go that direction if I ran there. It seems really cool though, and there's just a guy that is telling you what's going on the screen, and I never heard him repeat himself in the like 20 minutes that I played it. I guess they've recorded thousands of lines of dialogue, and he'll react to like the different ways in which you can kill dudes. And sometimes when you, like, I stuck around in a room just destroying all the scenery that was destructible, and he was like, then the kid just sat around raged for a while. It's got this kind of like Sam Neill kind of.
That's pretty
not
awesome.
Sam Neill. Sam Elliott. Yeah. Chris Elliott. Yeah. Chris Elliott narrates. So then I walked past this game called Deadliest Warrior, which is like a fighting game where you're different people from history. So you're like Alexander the Great versus...
Gandhi.
I was going to say Chaka Khan, but I meant it was Chaka Zulu.
Can you be William Shatner?
Napoleon versus Chardet.
That'd be great.
It looked pretty dumb. I don't know. I don't like fighting games, and it seems like everything is fighting games. I kept walking past the Capcom booth. There was a guy doing like two guys playing like, I don't know, Street Fighter versus some dude that looked like he was a robot with a lightsaber. So I don't know if that's like a guy from something. And so it was, you know.
They need to do Capcom versus Fuzzy Balls.
Did you see the thing at the Capcom booth where you could get into a box and yell as loud as you possibly could?
Oh, is that where that was?
Jenny, yeah, you got some kind of hat for you got some kind of hat.
Yeah,
some kid walked up to our booth and had a really interesting way of describing the way he got a hat by yelling.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of hat it was.
It was like a furry hat.
I saw an Asian man screaming in the box and a guy on the outside saying, "You're gonna have to scream a little louder than that. Try it again." And the Asian man was like, "I'm screaming as loud as I can." And then they were like, "You fail." And then his scream of no at his failure was enough to earn a hat. That didn't actually happen. I mean, there was an Asian guy, but I lost the thread of that story really early on. Let's see, what else did I buy? I sat and I watched people play Deus Ex Human Revolution for quite a while.
How is that
one,
look?
Oh God, one guy, I fucking love this guy, because I very frequently don't like watching people play video games, because I'd be like, nope, stop flipping through that shit too fast to read it. Read the things that you're putting on the screen. Read them.
Yeah.
Like, I know you can read fast, but you can't read that fast, right? But this guy was actually like exploring all the menus and stuff and looking through all of the options for like leveling up your Hakko augmentations.
Nice.
And your nano skins. It looks cool.
The little like demo video that I saw didn't look much different than the original Deus Ex.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Right, like that with a new engine and ladders that aren't shitty.
Yeah,
sure.
It seemed like you click on a ladder and then your dude just walks down the ladder. Like it, which
nice.
I guess it's nice. I mean, if you're getting shot at, maybe you want to like, oh fuck, I should probably jump instead of this. But I also don't
maybe
know.
You can probably interrupt it.
They might have been. They might have been controlling it. I don't know. Mm. There is like a. There's a sort of a glow around everything in the world that you can interact with. Mm. And I think that's probably built into the fiction of the world. It's like, ah, oh, this is your thing that just your HUD
your
that tells
bionic
you things
eye
about things.
That notices when something is special.
Important it knows when detail. this is one of the cardboard boxes that are not glued to the floor.
Yeah, it always amused me in Deus Ex that it was harder to break a large cardboard box than it was to break a small wooden crate.
the it still seems to have that like inventory Tetris that I like. Mm. And it seemed there was an inventory and part of it was darkened, so I think maybe there are upgrades that give you bigger inventory.
Sweet.
So like, yeah. Which I mean that's kinda like, all right, this is the fewer upgrades to your combat skills upgrade. Like, sweet feature, guys. Like, but it's like, still, it seems cool.
You
I want that.
I did not take a single upgrade to combat skills in Deus Ex. I was all about, like, you know, swimming and hacking.
Well, sure. But I mean, like, upgrading, using your upgrade points. I don't even know if it is. Like, maybe it's not using, like, if you increase your strength or whatever, you can carry more shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how it works. But, sure. Like, taking away inventory space and making you buy it back with currency that you could be using to make you better at the game. I guess carrying more shit is a way of being better at the game.
Yeah, because you can carry more weapons.
What I liked was it was in a grid like, and there was this guy had like a big rifle, which was clearly one of the like big like it was like a rocket launcher kind of thing actually, mm-hmm. and it was like 2 spaces by 5 spaces. But then he also had a 10mm pistol, which was. Facing was rotated and 2x3, so it was just gigantic. And he never picked it out. He never equipped it. But I was like really hoping that when he did, his guy would just be carrying this giant novelty gun that was actually like the size of the back half of a rocket launcher. But that must have just been a like game balance thing. Like we can't make pistol weapons 1x1 because there's too many of them or whatever. And you'd be like. You know, it is definitely 6 times harder to carry a gun than it is a candy bar, and we need to reflect that in this. But we can't make the rocket launcher so big that you can't carry anything else.
Is it 6 times harder to carry a gun than it is to carry 60 candy bars?
Yeah, that's a good question. Seemed like they were handing out. There was like a guy having a conversation with the dude in a helicopter. Your guy was having a conversation with the dude in a helicopter, and he was like. Telling you about the area that you were about to go into and asking you what kind of guns that you wanted. And it was like, it starts out with like, so are you going to kill everyone or not kill everyone? And you have these like, oh, I'm fuck those dudes up. Or no sense in turning this into a bloodbath needlessly. It makes your character into a nerd when you do that.
Well, actually.
But yeah, it's the writing. I don't know. I did not think that the voice work in Deus Ex was all that great. Mm. The writing was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't always delivered in a way that I would have liked, but, it seems like the voice work is better, but the writing is worse from what little of it I saw. Let's see. What else did I play? God, I played Dragon's Dogma, which is like this new Capcom. It's like an open world fantasy game, and Jesus Christ, I don't like... So sometimes I think we should start getting press credentials because, like, we probably got enough people that listen to this that we could, like, you know... Like, I'm sure there are smaller outfits that have press credentials and can actually get in to play stuff. But then I think whenever I play a video game and the people who are, like, working the booth or whatever are, like, watching over my shoulder, I always am like, God, I am so fucking bad at video games that I don't want every time I play a video game at a con to be like this. I want to disappear into a crowd, and I don't mind waiting in line for a few minutes if it means that there's probably nobody who works for this company and knows my name watching me. It, like, Dragon's Dogma seemed to be a game about being in a confusing brown dungeon filled with glue. And I don't know if that's just part of the fiction of the world because it's like it was slowing the camera
down.
Fudge
dungeon.
It was slowing the camera down a lot.
Chocolate sauce,
making it really. welcome to the Dragon's Fudge Dungeon. It's like you're running in slow motion. Every dude is brown. There's like this. Okay, it was like, go to this runestone to summon some pawns. And you go to the runestone, and it teleports these people down from some rocks in the user interface that appear. And then you've got eight dudes in your fucking way. Like, I was trying to go down this hallway. I was like, God damn it, I got to get in front of this guy to go down this hallway. And it was like in the game, they simulated that like awkward thing where you go one direction and the guy that you're about to meet goes the same direction. And then you switch back and forth a few times before you like awkwardly laugh and then you both go right. And I just like kept trying to get around this fucking NPC. And he was just like, nope, nope, can't go that way. Whoa, whoa, I'm over here. Fuck. And this happened so slowly because you run really slow, and then the only way that I could tell which things were enemies instead of like fucking rocks or my teammates was by looking for the like glowing purple health bars over them. I was like, oh, goblins. And the party members seemed to act as one of them was like a wizard and one of them was a cleric and one of them was an archer, but they all put some points into like super repetitive exposition because the whole time, and maybe if you were better at the game, these fights wouldn't last as long, but I'm fighting like a swarm of goblins, and probably 30 or 40 times over the course of this fight, two of the NPCs would yell, "They are weak to both ice and fire." Like, "They are weak to both ice and fire." And then a woman would say it, and they just keep saying it over and over again. Right, you guys either need to have more things to say or you need to say them less frequently. And then this fucking ridiculous hard boss fight at the end, and I'm pretty sure that the demo ended when I got killed. But I'm not sure. I think I got killed a bunch of times, and because suddenly I would move even slower for a while, and then somebody would come over and like lift me up. I don't know, thanks. Goblin. I'm assuming that was a goblin. I was fighting this creature that was a lion with a goat growing out of its back and a giant snake for a tail. And the woman during that fight kept saying, we have to contain the goat's magic. I'm containing the goat's magic. We have to contain the goat's magic. I'm containing the goat's magic. Like focus on the snake.
Was it some sort of solid snake?
Ah, man. When I was watching the Deus Ex Human Revolution, this kid in line next to me was like, "What is this? Some kind of new Metal Gear Solid? like some new version of Metal Gear Solid?" And I was like, "You know, that kid probably has never heard of Deus Ex, and probably, I wonder how many people who, like, because Deus Ex is pretty old at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how many people think that Deus Ex Human Revolution is a new property."
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Deus Ex 2, I never played it, but my understanding is that it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Or at least that it wasn't enough like Deus Ex to be a worthy
successor. Was it a different development team?
I think it was.
Mm, that sucks.
Anyway, I had no idea what the fuck was going on with Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Fudge Dungeon.
We should clearly make Dragon's Fudge Dungeon.
I think that's it, though. That was all I'd done.
Yeah.
Hey, so how about the assignment?
So it was pretty okay.
I loved it.
I didn't love it as much as you did. It dragged on too long and too much for me.
It does drag on. Your first few games are super, super short, and then once you start...
It was a little overwhelming. It was sort of like NetHack in some ways. Like, you know, you start off where it's kind of crazy hard, and then you start to get a little bit of sort of an idea of what's going on, but then you still get killed really easily.
Yeah, it's like my first game where I was figuring out what was going on and how this worked was like maybe 10 minutes, and then my next game was 6 hours long. And
yeah. Were you playing on easy, though?
No, it was normal, because I played permadeath when I eventually died in the middle of dungeon level 3 after those 6 hours. I did not much feel like starting over again.
So you only played one game of any real length?
Yep.
I played a game on easy I went to their forums and was like reading people's like, you know, things strategies about their different character builds and stuff. Apparently, one of the most effective ways to play the game is to go unarmed with dual wield so that you can dual wield shields.
I was doing dual wield with swords.
That's what I did. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, that seemed like the coolest way to play.
That and like dodge and something that helped me out with traps, I think.
Ivan was flipping his
shit. I didn't have any magic at all.
Over and over again in the beginning because every game that he played ended with that stairway bug crashing the game and deleting his character.
No, I never had that at all. I only tried to go up one staircase once and then it crashed my game and I lost 2 hours of progress and then... I played my second long game where I tried to go into a shop on the second floor and it crashed my game and I lost all my progress after 2 or 3 hours. And I was like, fuck this game.
Have you played again since then?
No, I'm not gonna. I mean, like, sure they say they fixed those bugs, but like that was such a frustrating experience that I kind of just put the game down and was like, I'm not gonna play this anymore.
Yeah,
like the game is designed such that you lose all of your progress if it crashes. Which, let's say you were on level fucking 9, or like, I don't know if there's 10 floors or whatever, but like, let's say you were like half an hour from beating it and you just lost all that progress, I would be so pissed.
I thought it had, I mean, it was amusing. It's got some good KOL-ish humor in it here and there, and the graphics are pleasing. But I just wish that, the levels were a quarter the size and there were four times as many of them.
Yeah, that's something that I wrote down on my notes here.
And,
like,
and that you like level, like the distance between level ups was like maybe half as much, but the monsters give.
I didn't feel like the levels were too large or anything. I don't know. That
I definitely did.
But like, why would it be better to have four times as many quarter size levels?
Well, it wouldn't, but it would feel like it was to me.
Yeah, there's a better sense of progress.
It would feel like there were like. Fully exploring a level is a pretty significant milestone for me in a roguelike.
Yeah, okay. Right? Now I can go downstairs.
Yeah, and doing that more often would be better, I think, and a little more gradual. Because I sort of had Rift's experience, which is like, all right, so you either start the game or you go down to a new level, and it's like you are two or three hitting monsters until you're about halfway done exploring the level, and then you're one hitting everything from then on. And it's just kind of a tedious series of like avoiding.
You've got
avoiding,
another hour left of one hitting the same dudes for an hour until you've finished with that level.
I guess the thing that kept sort of sustained me on the level exploration was finding new cool gear and like continuing to upgrade stuff and getting experience. Like, I mean, like I definitely felt like I was still making progress.
I don't think it was bad, but I mean, reading their forums, there were a lot of people saying the levels are too big, and I kind of agreed with them. Like, but I understand. Like, the way that I would approach that would not be. Well, I guess it would be to make the level smaller, but just to make it so instead of a new tile set for every level, there's a new tile set every... I mean, I think Rift's got it. I think you split each of them into four levels that are just smaller. Because it's not like there are giant rooms. It's not like the maps need to be that big, right?
It depends. I mean,
you could also get a lot more detail in the tiny-ass mini-map if the levels were smaller.
The quests are sometimes trickier because you'll get a quest and you don't know where on this giant level... the quest is supposed to take place, right?
Like, yeah.
That I kind of just think is a bad system. You, when you pray to the goddess of Inconsequentia, the goddess of side quests, it spawns a quest on the level that you're on, but it does so like anywhere on the level. So it might put it in a room you've already explored, and it is so fucking tedious to go back through every single room.
To go back and find it, yeah.
Something that I found interesting, too, was that the stairways between levels connect totally at random.
Oh, really?
Like, they each correspond... Like, each down staircase corresponds to an up staircase, but they're not configured the same way.
They don't all just connect to crash space.
Yeah. It was weird. They you know, I've only played one game since they fixed that, and I finally stumbled on a build that's really survivable. What made a huge difference for me in the beginning was I took everything that I could that gave trap affinity, because that made it so instead of traps being a thing that I would constantly blunder into and that would kill me, I was excited to see a trap, because it was like, all right, I can pick this trap up, I get some experience for disarming it, and then I can sell it later. Yeah. Like, traps just became a new source of progress instead of...
You know what the other thing that bugged me was? That I thought the crafting was kind of cool, but the ingredients for it take up so much of your inventory.
Yeah, that's a complaint that pretty much everybody has, too, is that the inventory is too small for how many items you get, right?
And I really appreciated the Golemancy skill tree. I was really happy with that.
What does that do?
That you get to summon a lot of pets, including an animate mustache, which was probably my favorite part of the whole game.
You were filled with such glee. I was sitting across the table from you, and you were just like had this big grin on your face, and I was like, what could possibly be on the screen that merited that reaction? And then when I went around and saw it, I was like, you know, that's pretty fucking adorable.
Yeah. That was the reaction I had to the Herodric Ludafisk cube.
Yeah,
I kind of wish I did not feel like that joke was right.
It was because the sound effect that really made it for me.
Oh,
you
see,
weren't
playing
with
no sound. Yeah,
exactly. Because whenever you turn something into Ludafisk, it goes, Skull!
Okay, so that's pretty funny. They So we spend a lot of time thinking about like random name generators. Mm-hmm. My chief complaint about the name generators in this game are that they are obviously incapable of generating the name Bob Goldthwait, which is a critical element of any name generator. It just keeps it sane. It keeps you honest. When you make sure that all of your name generators are capable of generating Bob Goldthwait, you're like, you know what? This is going to rein the crazy in a little bit. So it's like,
it was hyper random.
Yeah, it was so random that it was usually not funny. It was usually just a non-funny non sequitur, right? And you gotta be careful. Like, here's the thing though, random name generators, totally not an important thing, right? And we spend way more time thinking about it than it merits as a concept, I think. But like, it is possible to do it right.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that XKCD about you lock people in a box with pictures of Joe Biden eating a sandwich, and they'll start to really care about the different ways in which it can present itself. But like, you know, so it does sound unpronounceable that like a randomly generated word is just never going to be anything other than nonsense.
Well,
right?
Like one in 100,000 will be something funny, but
or funny sounding. I mean, but if you know, let's say you randomly generated compound words, always funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
fart steak or whatever, right?
Like, it depends on your source list of words.
Yeah, but I mean, even with an essentially random source list of words, I think two words combined into one word randomly are always going to be funnier than like random consonant, random vowel, and two random consonants, right?
Sure.
Like, because that's just never going to generate anything. It might accidentally generate the word fuck, and then you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Although every once in a while it would like, I fought a boss that was like Bornorgo, the president of sausages, and that was pretty funny. Like, cool. They're gonna be totally without leadership at this point. But it just wasn't like that could have been good, and it was. And the enemies talk to you, but they only have like four things that they can say, and they all say exactly the same thing. So you either need to do that way less often, or you need to spend, you know, an hour multiplying the possibility space of that by 100, right?
Yeah.
Like, because it really would only take an hour to do it, you know. And
well, I mean, it would take somebody who's good at writing insults and things that are funny an hour to come up with some stuff, but like, you know, I think the ability of most people to write like interesting, funny little snippets of dialogue or whatever is not, or just, you know, insults even, is just not that great. You know, it seemed like they were taking like old school, like Elizabethan style taunts a lot too.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seemed very spotty in a lot of ways.
The design, so it seems like they were going for like, all right, let's make an accessible roguelike. Right?
Sure.
Which
I appreciated the not being hungry thing a lot.
Yeah, except the fucking the fact that health regenerates by you doing nothing and there is no hunger to counteract that basically renders food irrelevant and makes it so if you want to play optimally, the thing to do is to just fucking hammer the space bar 1,000 times before you open every door.
I did not feel that way. I felt like food was something that I just sort of kept storing up, and then I got to my first monster zoo and was suddenly using food and booze to maintain myself while fighting just a ridiculous number of monsters. Right, and I think that's kind of how it was sort of designed, right? Like,
right, but that's not, because you don't care about, you won't play really optimally if it's not fun. But a lot of people feel like they have to, you know?
Sure.
And that's a problem with them, but it's also a problem that you don't, as a designer, you don't have to make it so people like that don't bore themselves out of all the fun in the game, mm-hmm. but you also don't have to rub salt in it, you know? Like
theoretically, the optimal way to play the game is to take the skill, I guess, burglary, that lets you summon lockpicks every 44 turns and then sit there and just make lockpicks every 44 turns, hitting spacebar in between, and then selling them to buy the best you know, thing in the store that you can.
Or making them into Ludafisk and trying to keep doing that until you get the perfect artifact for your character build or whatever. Like, that was the other thing. The fact that once you get, like, you know, some games where you play for 4 hours and never find the fucking cube, it's like those statues might as well not even be there, right? And it's okay, so, you know, guarantee a monster zoo on every level, just put the fucking Ludafisk cube on level one, if that's going to be a thing. If there are going to be 8 fucking fish statues on every level, don't make it so there are games where you don't get to use them.
Yeah.
Right? It's like if they just randomly decided, like, oh, you can't talk to the goddess statues on this level because you haven't found the bullhorn.
Also, right? don't make it so that submitting a stack of something gives you 2 Ludafisk, but breaking the stack into 12 different things gives you 12 Ludafisk.
Yeah, because the only way that you can divide stacks up is by dropping them into a crafting interface, which doesn't make any fucking sense. I never would have thought of it. I just read it on the forums, and it's like, well, fuck, now that I know that's how this works, I have to do it.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, like, the idea of throwing this fish into a statue, and the higher number of fish that you give it, the better thing it gives you. You know, it's like the fucking gambling in Diablo was great. It was so much fun. Super not actually fun, but it was it was just so much dopamine, right? Yeah. Like you can't
satisfying,
but yeah, you know, and it's like they took out some of the annoying things of like a net hack, but I don't think they really thought about
the repercussions.
Why those right? They didn't understand why it was there in the first place. Maybe I don't know. You know, these guys, like, they've been really responsive. Like, the first patch had so many just really, really nice quality of life changes. Like, the shift click to sell. You should. You should try it
one more time because they fixed the thing that screwed up my first run, which was the Knight's Leap ability occasionally sending you just to a square that wasn't the square you were trying to go to. And if it goes into a wall, then, oh, skills wasted. 16 more turns before you can try and use it again. Mm-hmm. And meantime, the thing that you were trying to escape from kills you.
That's a kind of a cool ability
in
the context of this. Because there's, you know, they have, like, the skill stuff, I think, is really neat. Although it seems like there are going to be a relatively finite number of builds that it's possible to win with. Mm. You know, and it would be. It would say what?
You think so? I'm not sure that that's true necessarily. I feel like you could, if you're good at the game and you know what you're doing, you could probably win with most builds.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Because for the first several times, I was just playing randomly, mm-hmm. just to kind of see what stuff did, and my survivability was just for shit.
But it was the first few times you also knew very little about how the game worked.
That's true. You know what I do like about this is, I mean, I probably put 8 or 9 hours into this, and it really did, like, you learned stuff without feeling like you were being taught stuff, you know, which wasn't, it's cool. I mean, I like the feeling of getting better at something by learning about it, and this definitely, I fucking, so much stuff that I wanted to be able to do this patch let you do, like, to easily sell stuff while you're sitting in a store, because you constantly have to do that. Like, you
inventory management level, you have driving to go me back. Nuts.
Yeah.
I just wish there were fewer things. Like, you don't need 40 kinds of cheese. Like, 5 kinds of cheese is enough for the joke to be there.
Well, that actually really made me laugh, because it wasn't until level 3 that I saw the one that was just called cheese.
Yeah, cheese. In fact, on my notes, there is just the word cheese in quotes, because that also...
It was really funny that you can use your metallurgy ingot press to make a grilled cheese sandwich, too.
I tried that and couldn't figure out how to do it. Do you have to find a recipe?
I had it at the beginning. You can only do it with cheese.
Oh.
It doesn't work with any cheese.
Oh, okay.
You don't need bread?
Yeah, you also need to find 2 sliced breads, I think. See. Or maybe just 1 sliced breads. If you find a recipe, you can use it to make omelets, too.
Oh, right, because you get those diggle eggs.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be a whole lot of variety in the room types. Like, there were, there was some, you know. But
there,
like,
were a couple configurations you'd see over and over.
You'd see 12 times in one level, you know. And it's like you
like
clearly...
Like one where there's, like, lava and you have to go down the hallway with the acid arrow trap and...
Yeah. It just seems a little weird, because, I mean, you know, you can make a lot of different kinds of rooms without it being too much trouble, right? Yeah. I mean, just... different configuration, you know, it just makes you feel like you're seeing the cracks less, I guess. You know, NetHack and a lot of those games get so random that they look sloppy. Mm. Like, I don't like NetHack levels. I don't like the way that the rooms you know,
just the pure aesthetic.
Yeah,
of them. Yeah.
Because it's like, what the fuck is it? Like, who built this? Like, this is this is the bullshittest dungeon ever. Like, the bathroom is so far away down a narrow hallway with boulders in it. Like,
you have to find the secret door.
Yeah, I don't miss.
And how does anybody ever get into that treasure vault? Anyway?
I don't miss secret doors.
There was a way into a rift, but it's been lost to the mists of history. See.
Nobody knows except for King Midas or whoever it was.
Exactly.
Although
there's often monsters in there, aren't there?
Well, I don't think guards. So. But don't you you get guards? Yeah. Like it spawns guards when you get into that vault, and they're really hard, right? They're like they're like shopkeeper level monsters. You know what we didn't do was talk about what the next assignment was going to be. I would almost be comfortable just saying that there isn't one because we're going to continue to be pretty busy.
Yeah,
for the
it's
going to
be
while.
Hard to say. I mean, what
you
want to?
You just
want to
keep playing Dungeons of Dreadmore.
I do just want to keep playing Dungeons.
I mean,
of Dreadmore.
Or we could pick like an iPhone game or something. I guess.
Well, if we had, we could have picked one. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But we didn't. We could edit something in if we wanted to.
We can take a break. That's fine.
What I want to do with Dungeons of Dreadmore is I want to play. I want to finish this game to just see if this build is actually sort of tenable at higher levels. Mm-hmm. And then if it is, I want to play one more with permadeath turned off so that I can at least like see what the rest of the dungeon looks like and try to beat it. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'll feel like I'm done.
You know. How often does it save if you have permadeath turned off?
I have no idea.
I don't think
I've
does.
Never played.
I think you have
to have
you,
save
you can
it
save.
Anyway?
It just doesn't delete your saves. Okay. So, like, I mean, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because you can be a lot less careful if you've saved.
Yeah.
Right? The fact there's a monster zoo on every level is just dangerous. Because if you don't kill all the monsters in the monster zoo on every level, you definitely won't level up fast enough to be able to survive the next monster zoo, right? Yeah. So it's like... Yeah,
there was some sort of bug on the game that I was playing where I cleared out everything in the first monster zoo on level 2 and it said that there was one monster left for the whole rest of my game.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe it got stuck in a wall.
I also did. I cleared out the one on level 2 and then it wasn't until I cleared out the one on level 3 that I got the achievement. They added 43 new achievements in the last patch too.
Nice.
Great.
Which they added an achievement for maxing out every skill tree, which... That's kind of neat in a encouraging variety.
Yeah, it wasn't, that makes you try everything at once. Which, you know, like, the skills didn't necessarily look all that cool, but then, like, I would find interesting uses for them. Like, there was the golem wall one in that golemancy tree, which, like, I thought, okay, I guess I could potentially build a little maze or something like that, or, like, build some defenses to prevent people from attacking me. But then I realized that I could use it to... summon a whole golem wall in the middle of those like isolated islands, and it would pop the item off onto the edge, so I could get the things without having to like teleport or whatever.
I can imagine a wall being really useful when you're like just training dudes out of a monster zoo, like getting making a space that only one monster can hit you at a time.
Sure,
if you can't
sure.
find one. There is an annoying bug in the new build though, where if there is a monster sitting on one of those spaces that's like quasi-occupied by an open door, you can't hit it. It's because it says there's a door in the way, but it can still hit you, and if you use a special attack on it, you can still hit it. And so every once in a while, I'll get to the point where I'm just like hammering on some dude, and I'm like, fuck, why do I keep missing this guy? And it's like, I don't. I keep getting this error message that says you can't hit this guy because there's a door in the way.
That
like,
sucks.
Fuck, man, one of these days, I'm going to get killed because of that, and I'm going to be super pissed.
Yeah.
Your counterattack doesn't kill them?
It would eventually, but this was earlier in the game when I didn't have a whole lot of counterattack yet.
I see.
And actually, you know, I don't know if a counterattack would hit, because it might say the same thing, because I think a counterattack is just a free, regular attack. The whole dual-wielding shields and unarmed build is really, really contingent on counterattacks giving you enough damage to kill stuff. And the shields stopping you from taking so much damage to trigger the counter that you die. Seems pretty neat, though, although I've found just shitty gear this run, so I feel kind of hamstrung because of that. But I don't know. I really enjoyed this game a lot.
It's pretty okay.
I as much as I kind of hated...
For $5, that's pretty great.
Much as I hated the crashing bug and was kind of pissed at that, I did have fun while I was playing it.
Well, should we do some
listener mail?
Listener's mail. Space Piranha writes, "Hello, Zach, Kevin, and Riff. How do you feel about Nintendo having complete ownership of every picture you take with your 3DS? If Asymmetrix had the rights to every word said in KOL chat, you could sell them to researchers and they would learn that people on the internet like boobs. It's a genius marketing ploy."
They probably already know that.
I mean, do we have the rights? I think we do.
I don't think so. I don't think Nintendo has the rights to every picture taken with the 3DS. I think no. If that went to court, they would lose.
Yeah, it's not a thing. I mean, they can claim it in their EULA, but that's meaningless.
Yeah, they've really EULA's never really been tested.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but I think you can give up those rights. I mean,
but I don't think you can give up. What was it I read? You can't give up your copyright on a thing that you haven't made yet. Is what I heard.
I mean, I'm just curious. Like I don't think that I can stop Blizzard from doing anything they want to do with the things that I've said in World of Warcraft chat.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it does. It's different, right? It's different than taking a picture with the 3DS, but I'm just talking about this chat question, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we could do whatever we wanted with that data, and there's nothing that anybody could do to stop us.
No.
Legally, right? Because this is like, you came to my website and typed this thing in. You didn't say that it was copyrighted. We didn't tell you. We didn't grant you anything.
But that's not the way copyright works, though. Like,
but I mean, can you copyright a fucking YouTube comment?
Anything that you create is, I think, technically copyrighted the moment that you create it.
Man, I copyrighted a huge deuce earlier today.
Yeah?
I think that's a trademark.
Well, you left your trademark.
Let's see. WVO Quine says, "You guys have talked about board games on the show quite a lot. Have you played any iPad ports of board games? They're fun in themselves and also a really good way to get acquainted with the rules to prep you for when you play them in real life. Ticket to Ride just came out and it is awesome. Other great ones include Small World, Carcassonne, Samurai, Through the Desert, Settlers of Catan, Neuroshima Hex, Blokus, and Medici."
Played a little bit of Blokus and Carcassonne. They're pretty good.
Blokus would be great on the iPad.
Yeah, it's nice.
I would enjoy that a lot, I think, playing that against an AI. Because mm-hmm. It's a really fun game, but not fun enough to sort out all the fucking pieces and find three dudes to play it with, right? So that kind of solves
that
problem.
It seems like a game that takes a few plays before you really figure out the strategy.
The advantage of not having to like set up board games that like a computerized version of them
or having to do all the scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, I would love an Agricola for the iPad, mm-hmm. right? I would play the shit out of that. I would play a game of Agricola against AIs, like, every day.
Just about any board game I can think of, I would rather play on the iPad.
I mean, it's nice when you're playing it with other people to actually have physical pieces to push around and shit, right? Yeah. Like, it's okay. What did I get yesterday? It was, like, last week. I had been playing something else. There is this deck-building card game called Ascension.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
Which that's a $5 thing. I mean, it's Thunderstone-y kind of. I'd played it in real life and didn't realize that until I had already bought it and played it some more. And it was fun.
So it actually is a card or board game?
Yeah, it is. It is an extant card game.
Oh, okay, not an iPad game.
It is an iPad game.
Oh, it is also.
I had played it and then I bought it on the iPad and I was like, oh, I've played this. I thought I was getting a new thing that I hadn't seen. But then I was like, wait, I played this. I did not know.
I have to look for that. Then.
Fucking Neuroshima Hex. I cannot imagine playing Neuroshima Hex without a computer figuring out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah,
that game is so like I don't even really understand it. Playing it on the phone, it is like I just downloaded it,
but I haven't looked at it yet.
I just lose the thread of it. It's like you put these dudes down, and they have different things that they do in different directions, and then there's like multiple phases of the turn, and different people act on different phases. So it's like you're trying to set up chains of things that will happen over time, and your opponent is trying to like fuck up your chains and set up his own chains. And it's like I feel like I am so bad at this game that I might as well be playing it randomly. Hmm. And I like. Maybe the advantage of playing it with actual pieces and doing the scoring yourself is that you have to understand it in order to play it, right? Which is not really true with the iPhone version.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard of a lot of these others, but I'll get them. I'm totally buying Blokus on the...
Small World is pretty fun.
It is. I've played more of that on the iPad than I have in the real world.
Carcassonne has a nice... like a puzzle mode version, too, for single player. It's kind of interesting.
There was that daily thing where you're trying to like get a score in the smallest square possible, sort of like the smallest rectangle.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
What I didn't enjoy though was Carcassonne in general, because I feel like it's like, okay, I understand this game, and now the way to get good at this game is to memorize all the tiles and how many of each configuration of tile there are, and I'm just not going to do that. So
I don't know. I mean, you could say the same thing about Scrabble, right?
You don't think that
that
you would just sort of become more familiar with it the more you played?
Maybe you do.
I mean, I've played a bunch of Innovation, and I feel like you start to just think about what cards are available after a couple playthroughs, and you don't necessarily have to sit down and like, okay, in the first age there's like all, you know, there's these different cards, and in the second age there's these different cards. Like you start to get familiar with them, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
And maybe in Carcassonne, you know, are some of the tiles like particularly valuable? I feel like you'd probably used to be like, oh, okay, there are like 5 or 10 of those.
Well, it's like, okay, if my plan is going to work, I really need a road that bends this direction, and knowing if there's one of those left in the deck is useful.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the iPad version has a thing where you can look at all the possible cards that remain, right? Like, you can just see a list of each tile that's left in the drawing stack and how many of them there are, I guess, which, you know, I guess that solves that problem. At least it gets rid of the memorization aspect of it.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? WVO Coin also points out, Riff, that it's James Lipton who asks what your favorite curse word is, not Leonard Maltin.
Oh. Who's Leonard Maltin, then?
He reviews movies.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy who makes Maltin milk balls.
Do they both have beards?
They actually refer... That was his nickname in junior high, was Maltin milk balls.
Milk balls.
I wonder if the constant train noise is going to be audible in this podcast.
Probably. And the fact that every single person in San Diego decided to get arrested in the last hour and a half.
Jesus.
Let's see. Paul BD says, have you tried the new XBLA game based around D&D 4th edition rules? If so, how is it? My understanding is that it is not... Like, maybe it's based around 4th edition mechanics, but it's an action game. So it's like, I would fucking love to play a game that... You know, I say this even though I hate tactical combat games...
I mean,
I think a game that's actually based on 4th edition rules, turn-based, would probably be pretty fun.
I mean,
I don't understand.
Isn't 4th edition D&D just turn-based WoW, though?
Well,
yeah.
If you're going to be all a hater.
I mean, it would be a lot like playing that board game that you've got with the vampire. Ravenloft. That Ravenloft board
Castle
game?
Yeah, yeah,
wouldn't
sure.
it just be like that, except with AI?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean...
Which would be cool.
Sure,
yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, except you could have thousands of abilities instead of the number of abilities you print cards for, right? I mean,
Are you saying you can't print thousands of cards? That's just impossible.
I'm saying they don't.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, they pick a subset. Oh, I don't know. I like reading the D&D 4th edition rules.
You like reading all role-playing game rules.
When I feel like D&D 4th edition is actually pretty elegant in terms of like making the game fun.
The book is printed in a really nice font.
Yeah. Typeface. Thank you. Paul BD also says, oh, and what crazy shit has Riff bought off Amazon lately? You've been Amazon withdrawn.
Yeah, I haven't been buying a whole heck of a lot. I bought a reprint of the first 5 or 6 books of the original Traveler game. Bought Peter Falk's autobiography. What else did I buy?
Does he have a glass eye?
Yep.
Did he have a glass eye?
Mm-hmm. I think he's had a glass eye since like high school.
Do you think that they kept it or they buried it with them?
Oh, I don't know.
Doesn't it have magical powers?
Yeah, it lets you make a cone of force.
It lets you solve crimes.
Let's see. Anyway, I have not played that XBLA game. I've heard that it's pretty bad. It's
really?
Like Daggerdale.
Dick Daggerdale.
Yeah.
Stabs things so
axe
fast.
Chip and Daggerdale.
Yeah. He kills things too quickly and needs to get new knives all the time because they keep melting.
Casey Wiederman says, hey guys, how many Zelda games have you completed? Now how many Final Fantasy games have you completed? Let's see, I beat the first Zelda, I beat Zelda 2, I beat A Link to the Past, I beat Ocarina of Time, and that's it. So 4 completions for me.
Let's see, I beat
Oh, I beat Phantom Hourglass too, so that's 5.
Okay, so Phantom Hourglass and the one after that, Spirit Tracks.
You actually played that all the way through?
Yeah.
Ugh. I played it until I got on the train the first time, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Isn't
this
that
game.
Like 5 minutes
yeah,
in?
It is. I played 5 minutes of that game, and I was just like, fuck this train bullshit.
Like, Link's Awakening. I have not yet beaten Ocarina, but I'm on my way, but I won't count it yet. And I guess Link to the Past, so like 4 and soon to be 5.
You didn't play the originals?
No, I didn't have a Nintendo.
Oh, you didn't have a Nintendo.
Oh, and Minish Cap, so 5, soon to be 6.
What about you, Kevin?
Let's see, I played the original, and then Adventure of Link.
And you beat both of those?
I definitely beat both of those.
Adventure of Link was super hard to beat.
Really?
Yeah. I found the combat in Adventure of Link to be extremely difficult.
The sideways view stuff? Or,
yeah, yeah.
I was pretty decent at video games as a kid, so I didn't find it that challenging.
I was as bad at it then as I am now.
I did the Spirit Tracks pretty recently.
You also played all the way through that?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are gluttons for punishment.
I got 100% completion on that. Like, I got all the fucking rabbits and...
You're nuts, man.
Yeah, that was... yeah. I did not play, like, Wind Waker or Majora's Mask. Like, there's a bunch that I've skipped. And I didn't play Ocarina of Time yet. So I'm kind of excited that that's sort of coming back out with the 3DS revitalization thing.
Yeah.
Zero Final Fantasy games.
Final Fantasies, I beat 6, 10, and 10-2.
Huh.
Yep.
Why are they... Can I ask a question about, like, why is it 10-2 instead of just going straight
to a weapon? Because every iteration of Final Fantasy is meant to be an entirely new world and story with new characters.
Okay.
So if you want to do a sequel to one in the same world with the same dudes, you need a new numbering system.
I see. Okay. And so that doesn't violate their sort of the spirit of the game by having a sequel to a thing that is otherwise.
I think no more than Final Fantasy II violated the spirit of. I mean, because like the guy that did it was like this was like his last game. Like I mean, the reason he called it Final Fantasy is because he's like, all right, this is the last game I'm going
to
make.
If this doesn't sell, we all have to get new jobs. So.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Shop Troll writes, why doesn't Video Games Hot Dog talk about beers or wines you're drinking? Advice Hot Dog
because
does a brief segment about cocktails.
Because this isn't Beer and Wines Hot Dog.
I'd be interested in getting some beer or wine recommendations from you guys. Also, have you ever considered doing a gaming tree as described in this post, which he links to on something? Or more to the point, what games influenced your taste/preference in games the most?
So what's a gaming tree?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up, and we'll get back to you on that in the next show.
Looked at it, and it was like somebody's like sort of recounting of all the games that they played and like just sort of a... by system the games that they played and sort of how that influenced like what other games they would play. It was kind of interesting. I didn't read through the whole thing, but... it's interesting to think about like how, like which systems you had influenced what games you played, which influenced like what you were interested in looking for in the future and that kind of thing.
Hmm. When I went through all of my, like I've basically kept every video game box from every game that I've ever owned, and I went through them when I moved into my new house, and I put some of them on display on a shelf, and the ones that I picked to display as like the ones that I felt were sort of the most influential were I forget the company that made it, but there was this Fellowship of the Ring text adventure that my dad bought with the first like real PC that we got. And let's see, Metroid and Castlevania.
Nice.
There. Space Quest 1 and 2 and Might and Magic Trilogy. Like the Might and Magic Trilogy box set was 3, 4, and 5.
Huh.
1 and 2. Also Might and Magic 1 and 2, but I have those in the original boxes. I'm reading this book called Dungeons and Desktops. It's about like it's a history of the computer role-playing game. And it kind of reads like a high school research paper book length, but it's interesting. Like there are enough things in it. I'm finding out about enough old games that I just had no idea existed and just things that happened in the history of CRPGs that I'm going to finish reading it. I think it's going to be worth it. But I don't know. Might and Magic. Those games are pretty good.
Yep. I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 that I played, but I enjoyed it.
If it had good graphics, it was 3. Like if it had stuff that you could actually sort of tell what it was and didn't look like just pixely like line drawings.
Probably 2 then.
Oh yeah.
Did 2 come with the notepad of like 15 by 15 grid paper for every sector?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might have been the first one that came with that. I think two. If you trained one of your party members in cartography, it would map. It would auto map for you. And it was weird. If you started out, like if you used the pre-made characters, one of them had cartography. But if you didn't, if you created all of your own characters, you'd go in there and you had to like find the place in the first town to train you for that, or you just wouldn't know that feature existed.
Huh.
It was weird.
Riff, what was that sort of? I want to think it was Cthulhu-based or Cthulhoid sort of thing where you were making all sorts of crazy maps.
Man, I don't even remember. Yeah, I kind of wish I did because I'd like to go back and see how they've updated it since then.
What the fuck was that called? Something online. It was...
Yeah.
It was super interesting watching you make those maps, but I don't remember anything else about it.
It was an Arkham Online, Innsmouth Online, Cthulhu Live?
Not Cthulhu Live. It might have been... Cthulhu Live is something different. It might have been like Arkham Online or something like
AOL?
That.
AOL? You're saying it was AOL?
It was a weird like sort of map-based browser game.
Yeah.
With just crazy dungeons that you had to map out on hex grids if you wanted to not be lost all the time.
Yeah,
and so it was
yeah.
a game where I was lost all the time.
It was sort of like an old school Ultima game, except Lovecraft.
I wish that I could remember what the fuck that game was called.
I'm sure at least one of our listeners will know what the hell we're talking about and let us know so that we can let everybody else know next week.
Miskatonic
Party.
Miskatonic Hex.
Miskatonic Fudge Dungeon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, man, I don't know. Well, you know, Advice Hot Dog isn't about cocktails, but we give cocktail advice. Drink stoned IPA.
Now,
this is one of the few video games hot dogs that I've done sober because it's the middle of the afternoon.
Oh wow.
I guess it's kind of the early evening at this point.
We don't tend to drink a bunch of wine between us.
I don't like wine. It makes me jittery.
I'm okay with wine, but not a fan of beer. And like I don't keep wine on hand for drinking.
Riff drinks a Tom Collins.
Yeah, once in a while.
He'll have a Cosmo. I don't know if you have a Cosmo.
I've never drunk a Cosmo. I don't even know what's in a Cosmo.
You know what you should drink is Manhattans.
Oh.
They're sweet. And they're mostly whiskey. So huh. you're manly, but you can get away with it.
You might like a Manhattan, Riff.
Okay.
You can sort of add cherry flavor to your taste. So it could just be very cherry flavored.
Drinking cough syrup.
Roepy points out that somebody said it was Daggerfall, and it's actually Daggerdell and not Daggerdale.
Mm. Okay.
Daggerdell, the funky homo dagger sapien.
Yeah.
Daggerfall was Bethesda's second Elder Scrolls game. It was released in the mid-90s, and whoo boy, was that game amazing. I'd recommend it for the video games hot dog guys to play. It's free now, except I'm afraid they could only scratch the surface of it in a single week.
I believe I've heard that that one was better than Oblivion.
I think you probably heard that Morrowind was better than Oblivion. A lot of people believe that Morrowind was better than Oblivion. I rented Daggerfall back when you could still rent PC games every once in a while.
I mean,
and,
you say back when you could do it. Isn't there, like, Gamefly? Can't you do that all the time?
Not PC games.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you can't, like, I'm pretty sure they don't let you rent things that are trivially copied.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Because you can run copies of DVDs on a PC without modding your PC, right? Because they'll load whatever. Yeah, I could be wrong. You know what? It seems like we're about done here.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything else you want to add to... listener mails?
No, nothing in particular.
Okay.
Let's hope this is recorded and hope it doesn't sound like total ass.
Yeah. Probably
you guys
will.
Ever play a game called Word Realms?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty sweet.
Awesome. Someday we'll be able to talk about that. Someday we'll be able to assign that because it will be a thing that exists that people can play for real. Until then, keep on trucking.
Have a great week, everybody.
See ya.